following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hi there, Refuge family. Welcome to Refuge Daily. My name is Michael Rogers. Mr. Rogers, you remember what a wonderful day in the neighborhood, or actually it was what a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Fred Rogers was actually an ordained minister, but he taught kids a lot about love, loving your neighbor. He taught them about the right way to live, the proper way to do things, just like the things that we have in the Bible, and that's where Mr. Rogers actually got his. I've often got teased about my last name, and didn't know a whole lot about Fred Rogers, or Mr. Rogers as he's referred to, except for I did watch him once in a while when my kids were growing up. What an amazing fellow, and you can actually look him up, of course, like anything else on the internet. You'll find a lot of information, and they actually made a movie about him, and I haven't seen it, so I won't recommend it to you until I get a chance to see it, but I think it's called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Could you be my, would you be my neighbor? So that was one of those ones that I needed to learn because people used to ask me, hey, are you Mr. Rogers? Well, that's what kind of brings me to what I get to share with you today. And I feel thankful for on this Thankful Thursday to be able to share this with you. You've probably heard in scripture about loving your neighbor, the importance of that, and Jesus actually taught on it, and I will be going there pretty soon, but there's just so much to it, and it makes me think about neighbors. And growing up for me, I was living in apartment buildings a lot, so I had a lot of neighbors. Sometimes the apartment buildings had 10 different units, 12 different units, 25 units, and the like, and so you end up having quite a few neighbors next to you, above you sometimes, and even below you sometimes. And I can't say that we got to know them all, and I'm not necessarily sorry for that, because some of them seemed like good neighbors, and some of them didn't seem like they were so neighborly, so to speak. But it really causes me to think about what kind of a neighbor am I as one, and particularly being a Christian now. It wasn't growing up necessarily, but now being a Christian, how do my neighbors see me? How do I see my neighbors? Do I know any of them? Do you know any of your neighbors? Have you taken the time to get to know any of your neighbors? Sometimes you can live next to somebody or very close to somebody for many years and really not get to know them. We stayed in the apartments that we did usually only about 2 years. We didn't stay a whole long time. We moved around a lot when I was younger. Stayed within the Long Beach area, but moved around a lot. And I can't say that I got to know all the neighbors, but I got to know the ones, of course, that had kids that were around my age oftentimes. And some of the older ones I might get to know, and then some I didn't. I usually, particularly even the older ones that didn't have kids, it was kind of nice to know somebody different than I was, or somebody different than even had a family that was different than ours. And sometimes today we don't see it that way. We don't, if they're different than us, then we don't really think that we have anything in common. That's not the way God sees it. And we know that we are all God's creation. And he wants us to love each other. And he tells us about that. We see it a lot in the Bible. We as Christians have a responsibility. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So our behavior is we're responsible to glorify our Father in heaven through our behavior. And so I just wonder sometimes how my neighbors see me. And I certainly have made an effort in the 22 years that we've actually lived in the house that we do to try to be a good neighbor and to allow the neighbors to see me in a light that would glorify my Father. I hope I'm doing well at that. I have to keep working at it, I must say. So who is your neighbor? And that question was asked of a man in Luke's gospel. We'll read that in just a minute. But I wanted to also point out that we are to be a light of salvation to the world that's darkened by sin. So oftentimes, if people see us and know that we're Christians, and yet we don't take the time to try to get to know them or at least befriend them in some way, shape, or form, which I understand not everybody is somebody that you'd really want to spend much time with at times. Some of them you probably want to avoid, and that's understandable. So we have to have some discernment there. But perhaps those are the people that might be most in need, and God might have a plan for us to be able to get to know them and be a light and be able to share the good news that they may not know, or they may have been told about it and may not have wanted to accept it at that time in their life. You and I, at least me for sure, have heard the gospel many times before I actually really wanted to accept it or grab onto it and then live it, more importantly, as I do today. So does our neighbor have needs, and is there something that we can do for them? We can ask ourselves that question. In Ephesians, Paul writes in chapter 2, he says, we are God's handiwork. And I understand that word to be poema, a workmanship or handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I really, when I was looking at this the other day, I was thinking, wow, I really like this part, and don't know if I've actually noticed it, the part where it says when we're going to be doing good works, he created us to do good works in Christ, and that particularly now that we've been born again in Christ. It was difficult to do good works, real true good works, before knowing Christ, at least for me, but created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance. So he knows about those good works that he wants us to do. He's already prepared in advance for us to do those things. So he kind of sets us in the place of where we're going to be, who's our neighbor, those kind of things. And he gives us the ability to do it. You know, when he gives us a commandment or he gives us even a direction, it's generally not a suggestion, right? He's telling us to go out and do this. And in this case, he's not going to tell us to go do something without giving us the equipment or the ability to do that. So if you feel like maybe I just don't know enough, and if my neighbor knew I was a Christian or didn't know I was a Christian, they might ask me some biblical questions that I may not be able to answer. Well, don't be concerned about that, because God prepared this time in advance for you to be able to have that time with your neighbor, because he does tell us to love our neighbor. So When a man asked Jesus about that question, and I'll go to this quickly, and it says in verse 25 of chapter 11 in Luke's gospel, one day, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, it says, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Interesting, somebody would want to give Jesus a test, but they tested him all the time. And of course, he knew the answers. How he gave the answers was something that we get to enjoy when we read his word. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? What an extremely important question. I don't know of a more important question, really, that we would want to know the answer to, because that eternal life is what we should be seeking anyway. And that's certainly, I mean, eternity is a long time, right? It's forever and ever and ever and ever. So that's what I want to know what's going to happen, and what do I need to do, be in the right place when that time comes, when I enter into eternity. But Jesus replied in verse 26, what does the law of Moses say? How did you read it? So he's asking him, first of all, if he's an expert in the law, he should know, right? He should have read it, certainly, many times. The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All those other things that he talks about pertain to God, but then he says, love your neighbor as yourself, which is the point of today's topic and what I'm talking about. What did Jesus say? In the New Living Translation, I love it. With an exclamation point, it says, right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. meaning that's really truly what life's all about, loving God and then loving your neighbor. And then the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Trying to get down to specifics, it looks like. And Jesus replied with a story. He says, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him beside the road dead. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. That's not very neighborly, is it? And then a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed over on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, he took some Christian action, essentially, was what we'd call it today. But the Samaritan took some action, and he went over to him, and he soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper two silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man, and if the bill runs higher than this, I'll come back and I'm going to pay it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of his bill then." Now, which of these, Jesus is saying, and this is Jesus telling the story, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked, and the man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." How important is that? To show that mercy. And we've all been shown mercy. And if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we live the life of a Christian, we know what mercy is all about. We know that time and time again, God has demonstrated his mercy for us and on us and upon us. And we certainly see that on the cross. We didn't deserve what Jesus had to go do for us, but yet he did it anyway. Jesus says, "Yes, now go and do the same." So we are to do that same thing. So who's our neighbor? Well, it could be anybody that God puts in our life that we have a need, that may have a need. And do we know our neighbor's needs? Well, if we're not talking to them, particularly this geographically, the ones live next door to us, on top of us, beside us, or all around us, whatever, if that's the case, and we don't know them, we don't take the time to know them, then we certainly aren't doing what the Samaritan had done. And the Samaritans at that time were despised people, and yet he still reached out. He didn't look to see what color the man was, what financial status the man was, where he went to worship. He didn't care about any of that stuff. He just saw that this was a man in need. This was a person that needed his help, and he did so. The heart of a true Christian. And so remember what I said about what Paul said in Ephesians, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Those good works that you can do for your neighbor, anything that your neighbor has need of that you might be able to supply or you might be able to do for them, even if it's just, hey, a hello smile once in a while. Some people just need that, and that will be a lot in some people's lives. God has prepared you for doing that. So go out and do what you're prepared to do. God has prepared these things in advance for you. And you as a Christian, as a believer, you have love in your heart because God lives inside of you. And that love is so important, but you don't want to just keep it there. You want to share it. So go out and share it today. God bless you. And Michael Rogers out here. Mr. Rogers, have a thankful Thursday.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds.